Broadcasting live from the Capital OTB studios, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow.
I am Seth Merrow. This is Racing Across America on a Saturday morning, October 9th. Great racing to talk about this morning here on the show. It's opening weekend for the Keeneland Fall Meet. They kicked off yesterday with some stakes action. They continue today with plenty of stakes action that will have Breeders' Cup implications. Same at Belmont. They have some nice stakes action today as well. And as I say, we will talk about all of that as the show progresses. Let me just remind you that today here at the Clubhouse Racebook, there is a match bet promotion. If you'd like to come down and enjoy the racing here today, make this your venue. You can grab a little lunch over at the restaurant or just hang out in the OTB side of things and watch all the racing action, but maybe have a little fun as well with the match bet this afternoon here at the
Runners are coming out for race number 4 at Ferry House.
Albany, same spot tomorrow, where again you can come and maybe grab a little lunch or watch all the racing action, but on a Sunday during the NFL season, you can also watch all the football action. So again, that's tomorrow. Wear a jersey and get in for free, maybe a winner jersey or a restaurant voucher by playing on the squares. Always a lot of fun. Football Sundays here at the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue in Albany. All right. As noted, there is plenty of really nice stakes action today. Belmont and Keeneland. We will talk about that coming up in a little bit. We'll be joined by Jeremy Plonk, horseplayernow.com, and more. And we usually talk to Jeremy early in the year about three-year-old action, and we touch on a little of that today with some conversation, taking a look at the latter part of the three-year-old season and how he has, his opinion of how things have shaken out, Essential Quality and Hot Rod Charlie and whatnot. But Jeremy also has selections every day at the Keeneland website, so I thought we'd reach out to him and get some thoughts on some of the Keeneland stakes today. And then we talked to Bob Ehalt as well, writes for America's Best Racing and the Blood Horse. He took a look at the Turf Classic this afternoon for Blood Horse, did a little preview. So we talked a little Turf Classic, but he also took a look at the Breeders' Futurity over at Keeneland. So we talked about that as well with Bob. Japan and Gufo face off again in the Turf Classic. Arklo is in there. Looks like a very, very nice race. I think a lot of people are looking forward to Baby Yoda today in the Vosburgh. Is Baby Yoda for real? We will get a better feel for that today. Only 4 starts, but the one that jumps off the page is that September 4th start up at Saratoga with the 114 buyer, but goes against a proven stakes quality veteran in Frenzy Fire. So the Vosburgh today at Belmont, also very attractive. And as I said, there is a lot of stakes action at Keeneland as well. And we go through all of the stakes with Jeremy and touch on, again, the Breeders' Futurity as well with Bob Ehalt. But the Keeneland Turf Mile, nice full field in there. Our Order of Australia, who won the Breeders' Cup mile last year in Diamond Oops, I think is an interesting player. Pixelate, I used on top as maybe a little bit of an upsetter, a 9-2 morning line. And the Breeders' Futurity, you would think, has the potential to have some Breeders' Cup implications into the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Classic. Causeway will be the interesting horse there, coming off the big debut victory up at Saratoga on that same September 4th afternoon as Baby Yoda. So it's a really nice day of stakes action, and we will cover most of it anyway, here on Racing Across America, looking at those Keeneland and Belmont stakes. So again, we'll go to a break, take a quick break. When we come back, Jeremy Plonk from horseplayernow.com and more. And then a little bit later on, Bob Ehalt from Blood Horse and America's Best Racing. All of that when Racing Across America continues. Stay tuned.
Where's the best place to find your favorite teams, your favorite food, daily drink specials, and wagering on live horse racing? Legends Field Sports Bar, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. Get your game on day or night with 75 flat-screen TVs, tournament-style pool tables, a private banquet room, and live horse racing. So if someone asks you, where's the best sports bar in the Capital Region, tell them Legends Field Sports Bar, inside the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
Capital OTB is now streaming live on Roku. The RTN Racing Channel on Roku lets you watch OTB TV live through your Roku device or your Amazon Fire Stick, rather than being limited to computers and mobile devices, which means you can now watch OTB live wherever you are. Simply open Roku, scroll to find the RTN channel, then click on OTB TV. OTB TV on Roku. Try it now.
Joined by our next guest, Jeremy Plonk from HorsePlayerNow.com and much, much more. Keeneland's opening weekend for the fall meet, and you can catch Jeremy's selections at Keeneland's website every racing day. And so I thought we'd reach out and get some thoughts from Jeremy on some of the stakes action and more. Jeremy, good morning.
Hey, good morning. And I'm glad you caught me now, because they're about to kick it off at the Cotton Bowl. It's Oklahoma, Texas, man. And you know, a proud Sooner alum that I am, this is like the biggest day of the calendar year. Then you throw Keeneland opening day on top of it. So I'm not going to sit down the rest of the day. This is the last time I sit.
Excellent. Very good. Me, I'm a Syracuse alum, so the football season is kind of a watch. I wait for basketball to kick off, so I still have another month and a half or so before I get into it. But before we get started on some of the Keeneland thoughts, horseplayernow.com, what's up if people are checking out the website, and what can they expect during the fall season from Horseplayer?
Well, we've got our daily Saturday Buzz Report, which is a handicapping report. We'll take a look at Keeneland and Santa Anita this time of year. Belmont, of course, the big races this Saturday. We also take a little bit of a look at the West Virginia Breeders Classic at Charlestown. So that handicapping report, just $10 every Saturday, and you can check it out at horseplayernow.com. And all the way up through the Breeders' Cup, we'll have an extensive Breeders' Cup report on both days. So those are the main things. If you're handicapping, come check out our Race of the Week, and all of our old night school archives are there. Hundreds of lessons, hundreds of guests over the 9-year run that we have with the night school program. You can go check out all the free fan education pieces that we have there.
Yeah, very good. Always like to tout horseplayernow.com, so check that out. And, of course, the beginning of the year, we're always checking in with you for Countdown to the Crown. Look forward to that sooner rather than later, because that 2-year-old season is ramping to the end of the year, and then the calendar turns, and the 3-year-olds will be in action before we know it. But let's get to Keeneland. Keeneland's opening weekend, and as I say, folks can check out the website and get your selections during the meet, but we'll get some of your thoughts on the stakes action. Let's work our ways backwards. Keeneland Turf Mile this afternoon, grade one event, $750,000 up for grabs as they will go a mile. I pulled up last year's Breeders' Cup mile, November 7th of last year at Keeneland, coincidentally, the Breeders' Cup, and it's going to be number 15, Order of Australia, getting it done. We should note, however, 73-1, so the betting public wasn't necessarily on that one that day. It's going to be interesting.
So I get a feeling that Order of Australia is going to be bet. It's probably going to be over bet, you know?
Yeah.
I don't think you want to take less than 4-1, 7-2 on anybody in this race. So I think he's going to be far short of that. So I think it's a race you shop around a little bit. If Order of Australia wins, you tip your cap. Maybe you use him in the pick threes, pick fours. But in terms of a win bet, I think fair value in this race starts 4-1 and up. And I'm going to take a shot with Diamond Oops in here, Seth.
I like it. All right, let's go a little bit earlier. Very intriguing race on the card. Nice full field of a lucky 13 in the Breeders' Futurity Grade 1 event for the 2-year-olds. $500,000 up for grabs. And we just did the handicappers report, and my colleague and your friend, Brian Addo, was taking a look at Keeneland during the show, and we were commenting on the morning line on Classic Causeway. I don't think we're going to get that 5-1. And we'll show people the maiden debut victory closing weekend up at Saratoga. Very impressive for Classic Causeway, the number two horse. Wins by a chart margin of over six lengths at 13-1. The second place finisher subsequently came back to win in the next start. But Great Escape comes out of a nice maiden victory down at Churchill most recently. He'll take some action. Stellar Tap was, of course, the nice winner up at Saratoga that got Steve Asmussen the all-time win record. So right. That horse is a little bit notable, despite a fifth-place finish last time in the Iroquois. But, boy, as I say, this is a fun field. Going to be interesting to see how it shakes out, as I say, post-time, odds-wise. Your thoughts on the Futurity?
Well, the outside post is what's going to make a lot of people say, maybe I'll try to beat the big favorite, who could be the big favorite in here, Classic Causeway. I went back and did some research in the Keeneland database. Of course, at Keeneland.com, I do the statistical analysis of all the races and look at details like this. There have been 25 races at Keeneland since they put the dirt back in the fall of 2014 that had a full field of 12 or more going a mile and a 16th on the main track. Out of those 25 races, it's mind-blowing, absolutely mind-blowing, that nine winners have won from the 11-hole or out. Oh. That's 36% of the winners have come from the 11-hole or out.
Oh, that's
so
crazy.
While everybody thinks... It is absolutely crazy. So it defies the logic that you might think. But these outside horses, and of those nine winners, three of them came in major two-year-old stakes. We saw an Alcibiades winner, a Breeders' Futurity winner, and one year when the Bourbon Stakes was reined off the turf to the main track, Flame Away won from the 11-hole out there in an off-the-turf event that kept a huge field. So this is a situation where I wouldn't be so afraid of the outside post. What I would be afraid of is an overbet price. You know, I mean, that's the thing. I think this horse, I mean, if you believe Twitter, I mean, look, 10% of the world lives on Twitter, and I don't know if that's the measurement of, you know, reality or not, but Twitter thinks this horse is going to be hammered on the tote. If that is the case, then I think you're probably taking too short of a price on a horse who just has a one-turn maiden sprint win and one race on his resume. And he was not one of those they knew types, like you mentioned, 13-1 in the debut. It's Brian Lynch. It's not Todd Fletcher. It's not Chad Brown. It's not somebody that we expect Brad Cox to come steamrolling with two-year-olds out of Saratoga. So you can take that as a plus or a minus. You know, you could say, look, this horse outran a trainer who normally doesn't offer a lot first out with two-year-olds. Or you can look at it and say, maybe just didn't catch the greatest field. We'll see and take a wait-and-see approach at a short price. One thing about horses going two turns for the first time, when they're on the outside, that can be difficult sometimes because that first turn comes up on you quickly. And in their debut race, this horse, especially at 7 furlongs, ran about 3/8 of a mile before he ever had to turn left. That first left-hand turn is going to come almost immediately after the starting gate. So this is it's interesting for a horse on the outside because they've never gone two turns before. That'll be the question mark. I'm going to the one, Double Thunder, not because I don't think the rail is so much better or anything like that. Double Thunder's the horse I like because he's got the resume. He doesn't have the flashy numbers. Other horses have run faster, but he's been very professional in his four starts. His win at Churchill, he weaved through traffic, looked really, really good in that. His win at Monmouth last time, same thing. Really got through a lot of traffic. This is a big, bulky field. Either you're going to go out and just blast the field on the front end and avoid all the trouble, or you're going to have to be a seasoned horse to get through the trouble. I'll take my chances with Double Thunder in here. Paco Lopez rode him superbly at Monmouth last time out and hopefully, you know, get to another good trip. It's going to save ground into the first turn. It's going to be a horse who's finishing. I like a finisher in here, but it's a short stretch, 16-pole finish line. But horses have closed. We've seen like Brody's Cause and some deep closers win this Futurity over the years. And we've also seen very good speed horses win it. In terms of style, may the best horse win.
Those are crazy stat stuff from the outside post position. Completely counterintuitive. All right, let's move on to the First Lady, the eighth race on Saturday afternoon. These are fillies and mares going a mile on the grass. Althika, I think, is going to be the one the betting public will tilt towards, and justifiably so, off the two wins coming over to this country in grade ones. I pulled up, though, the win last time over Kentucky Downs from Princess Grace. Princess Grace is going to be the number two horse here. Gets it done over Dalika, who is also in the field, a horse I like very much. There are, again, some notable names in here. Harvey's Little Goyle, Viadera, Blowout. But what are your thoughts on the First Lady?
Well, it starts with Chad Brown, right? I mean, Chad's won this race 3 years in a row, the last two with Uni. I don't know if he's got a filly, the quality of Uni in this year's group, but outside of Alfica, I think that this race could be had. You know, the filly that we're watching from Kentucky Downs, Princess Grace, she's done it extremely well. She's been shipped all over the country. They've picked their spots very well with her. This by far is the toughest spot she's ever been. There's not much flaw in her resume, so you've got to like what she's done, and you have to respect her. But I think this is a big step up in class for her. If she can win, I think she's a horse that you probably want somewhere around 8-1 on. If you get 8-1 on Princess Grace, I think you've got one that is probably worth a shot. But it's Chad Brown, to me, that you really have to look at in this race. Again, he's won it 3 years in a row. He's been dominant in Keeneland Turf Stakes over the years. He's got three in here. We know Blowout's going to the front. I don't think Blowout can wire this field. The one I like best is Regal Glory. Regal Glory is a horse who finished three lengths behind Alfica in the Just a Game at Belmont going the one turn mile. But if you look at the resume, when going around two turns, there's a much better record for Regal Glory than in those one turn races. So we're back to two turns here. This is a situation where you're probably going to get somewhere around 5-6-1 on Regal Glory. I think we're looking at 8-5 or less on Alfica. I think she's going to get bet very hard in here. You got to make up three lengths. Is the two turns enough to do it? Maybe. The other question is, can Alfica make three trips across the Atlantic in succession since June and keep holding her form? So if she regresses a length or two, the one turn versus two turns worth another length or two, and you got the Chad Brown factor at a fair price, I'll take Regal Glory. But to me, it's absolutely a two-deep race for that all-stakes pick four and all-stakes pick five. I'll use Regal Glory and Alfica. I'll throw another one in for the exotics. Daddy is a legend. She loves the track. She loves Keeneland's turf course. And if you go this following Naira racing, George Weaver is on fire in New York right now. He's had a really good 2-3 week run. All of his horses are running very well. I wouldn't be surprised if that transfers down to Keeneland. So I think Daddy is a Legend could be 15, 20, 25 to 1 and be a horse that you want to use in your tries and supers.
Yeah, we're looking at 12 to 1 on the morning line. And I was going to say, I could see that going up a few ticks. So that's an interesting.
Yeah, because I think Alfica is going to get bet much lower than that morning line. So as she drops, everybody else has to go up.
Yeah, agree totally. The TCA, short field, but a fun field. I've liked Bell's the One throughout this season because I like Sconson, and they put on a couple of nice battles so far this year, including last time out where Sconson just edged Bell's the One in the open mind. But I'm going to pull up the Honorable Miss. Why? I'm a homer. I like to pull up the Saratoga races, and Bell's the One got it done that day, the number 9 horse back in July. So Bell's the One is very intriguing, but Frank's Rocket, again, we had Brian Addo on earlier, and he thought Frank's Rocket stood a chance of maybe taking this field all the way around. Estilo Talentosa also, I think, is a contender in here, and we have last year's winner in the midst of Biz in the field also. Boy, it's a fun field, as I say. Your thoughts in the TCA?
There's not much speed in there. I think Brian's right. It's Frank's Rocket from the rail going to the lead, and in the midst of Biz, probably sitting second, a length or two off, just like she did last year when she pulled the upset. This is a race that's rarely won on the front end, wire to wire historically, but not won by deep closers. So when you look at that kind of first over, second over kind of trip, in the midst of Biz could trip out again. And I think she was 13 or 14 to 1 last year on the piece right in front of me. But she was a good price last year when she won it. I think she'll be a good price again. And to me, that's the gamble because she gets the trip. Look, Keeneland is a big horse for course track. We know that for sure. She's already won over the track. That's a good sign. And I think she gets the right trip. Frank's Rocket could wire the field if she's like the 2020 spring version of Frank's Rocket. But she kind of, you know, they toyed around with where to run her the end of last year. She hasn't been the same. If she can get her form back, she very well could wire this field. My thought is she still has the speed. She's not really in the form she was earlier in her three-year-old season. She gives way, and then that gives that just first over default into the lead for in the midst of Biz at the top of the stretch, and then she's got to hold off Bell's the One. That, to me, is the race. I think in the midst of Biz leads at the 3/16, and she's got to hold off Bell's the One. For the price, Bell's the One's probably going to be 6 or 7 to 5. In the midst of Biz can be closer to 10 to 1. To me, that's the gamble. But again, this is another either or situation, which is kind of a common theme the way I see a lot of these stakes races, and a two deep, which is good. You can go 2x2s and your pick fours and pick fives and feel pretty good that you don't have to spend that much, or you can load up and play extra combinations. If you beat one of these favorites, you know, I'm like, I'm trying to beat a lot of favorites here. As you see, Order of Australia, no. Classic Causeway, no. Alfica, no. Bell's the One, no. Do I think all four are going to lose? Probably not. But if we can get two of them to go down and we get two prices to beat them, now we've got a chance for a nice cash.
Yeah, you're exactly right. In a pick four, if you can get by a couple of favorites, it's going to be an okay ticket either way. All right, let's go back and look at the stake that will kick off the stakes action, the Woodford Field of Seven scheduled in here. I liked Firecrow a couple of weeks ago down at Parks and ran, you know, an okay fourth after having been right in the thick of things early. So it's just a quick turnaround. I find that one a little bit intriguing. But I pulled up the quick call from Saratoga. Number three, Golden Pal, is going to be the winner of that race. Subsequently, they went over and tried to race over in Europe, as Wesley Ward is wont to do. Ran seventh there, but not a badly beaten seventh. But I'm going back to the Saratoga race, seasonal debut, and I think Golden Pal probably is going to take an awful lot of action and likely the one to beat. Are you looking to beat Golden Pal?
Maybe reluctantly, but not with a lot of confidence. I think Extravagant Kid is the one who has a shot to do it, a horse who's run really well over this course. I believe came up a half length short of Leinster in the same race last year. So a horse who can run well over the course, the better price of the two. You see a common theme here. I like horses who have run well at Keeneland in the past and maybe the alternative to the lower price favorites. But Golden Pal is absolutely the horse to beat. We know Wesley Ward with his 2-year-olds in the spring at Keeneland, absolutely dominant. But the other category where he excels at Keeneland is with the turf sprinters. He's had so many good ones over the years dominate at Keeneland. You remember Welker and Lady Aurelia and just, you know, Bound for Nowhere. I mean, these horses have all run extremely good races at Keeneland on the grass floor. So I would expect Golden Pal, who was a Keeneland 2-year-old winner on the dirt, now converted over to a really nice turf horse, to be just as tough. I mean, Golden Pal's going to be very hard to beat in here. But it's the start of an all-stakes pick five, and we know this. When there's a huge favorite staring you in the eyes in the beginning of a pick five, everybody's on it. So if you can beat Golden Pal, say Extravagant Kid wins this race and the rest of the sequence chalks out, you're going to get a ridiculously better overlay price, you know, because everybody is going to be focused on Golden Pal, especially in that first leg. There's an opportunity. There's an opportunity if you can get a horse. Extravagant Kid's probably 3-1, 7-2 second choice in here, maybe. Maybe third choice. Maybe Firecrow gets bet down. You know, $8 horse followed by four favorites, and you're looking at a $500 pick five. That's not too shabby, you know? And so that's the way I'm kind of looking at the tote and the gambling today. And I think Golden Pal is obviously the most likely winner, but Extravagant Kid offers a lot of value. And maybe, again, that travel overseas and back and things like that, what horse are we going to see from Golden Pal on Saturday this afternoon? We'll find out. If it's the good version, he'll win this race pretty comfortably. But there is a lot of speed, right? I mean, of all the horses in this race, it's not a huge field, but every horse in the race except Extravagant Kid pretty much wants to go to the front. Could it be contentious and set up? We'll find out. I wouldn't take a short price on Extravagant Kid to pull the upset, though. I mean, I think you definitely want to get $9, $10.
I like it, and it is a fun stakes afternoon at Keeneland. I will again remind people they can find your picks at the Keeneland website. There's a nice consensus box of all the experts who are focusing on Keeneland, but there's also a page where you write comments on your selection, so people can check that out at the Keeneland website. But I also obviously wanted to talk to you a little bit about the three-year-olds, because we have you on regularly during the early part of the season, the countdown to the crown package that you put together for horseplayernow.com. Great information leading through the prep races and the triple crown season. But I wanted to get your thoughts now that we're kind of in the second half of the season, how the three-year-old picture has shaken out. And I think every year we're all focused on that triple crown, but the three-year-olds really define themselves summer, late summer, early fall. And some years it works out well, some not so much. I think this is one of the years where it's working out well. I think we're winding up with a pretty good looking three-year-old class. I'm going to focus here on the horses going longer, but you also have the Jackie's Warriors in the mix, and Flightline and those kind that are making the three-year-old scene very exciting this year. But I'm going to tell the guys in the control room, you can pop right through these replays, because I'm going to pull up Essential Quality in the Travers. Also have Hot Rod Charlie in the Pennsylvania Derby, where he came up with a 111 buyer figure. And last weekend, Medina Spirit in the Awesome again, he got a 107 buyer. But again, we're watching Essential Quality over Midnight Bourbon here right in our backyard get it done. Give me your thoughts on who's the head of the class, who heads into the Breeders' Cup Classic a little bit alive from this three-year-old scene, and how you've seen it shake out over the summer.
Essential Quality is the leader of the division, I think. You know, his only defeat coming, a narrow fourth in the Kentucky Derby. He's exacted revenge on many of those type of players by winning the Travers Stakes. He's got to get another shot at Hot Rod Charlie, which he defeated on the square in a tight finish in the Belmont Stakes. He's not head and shoulders above Hot Rod Charlie. Hot Rod Charlie absolutely is right there on his tail. But it's Essential Quality's three-year-old championship to me to lose. I'm going to ignore Medina Spirit. I just am. You know me. I talk a lot about the ethics of the game, and I know it trickles into our handicapping. And as a handicapper, you've got to gamble and assess the race. But if you're talking about which three-year-old deserves awards and accolades and respect, Medina Spirit's invisible to me. I don't buy it. You know, he's gotten by the regulators before. And so what he does from here to four is something we have to assess as a gambler and a handicapper. And when you're, you know, handicapping the races, what factor do you want to give that horse and such like that? But in a discussion for champion three-year-old, he's blind to me. You know, I'm not going to even consider him. And, you know, he won the awesome again, tipped the cap. Hopefully there's nothing that comes back from the lab in some due time. Hopefully the court system all works out. Hopefully the suspensions of Baffert hold up. I'm 100% in favor of those suspensions. And, you know, for the three-year-old picture, that's my feelings on Medina Spirit. The horses on the track that haven't had any issues, that their records speak for what they've done. Look, I know Brad Cox and Doug O'Neill have not had the absolute cleanest of records either, so I'm not making any apologies for those horses, nor Steve Asmussen with Midnight Bourbon, who's had a great year. All of these trainers have their warts. They all have their records that speak for themselves. But we know Medina Spirit was disqualified from the Kentucky Derby. We know he tested positive. We know the disqualification is pending. So, therefore, he's not in the run for the three-year-old championship to me, even if he wins the Breeders' Cup Classic. I'll stand on an ethical stone there and stand by it. But in terms of the best season, it's, to me, still Essential Quality. He was a two-year-old champ last year. Remarkable that he's still doing what he's doing now, because we haven't seen two-year-old champs hold this form throughout the three-year-old campaign very often. I think he's going to be a formidable foe in the Breeders' Cup Classic. It'll be interesting to see what Brad Cox does when he has, you know, Nick's Go as well. I mean, that's really a huge X factor. I mean, you could run Nick's Go in a dirt mile and be 1-9, or you could, you know, go in the Classic where the money's a lot bigger, but he's got two horses then, but they're two different owners, so you probably run both in the Classic. I don't know if any of these three-year-olds beats Nick's Go, but a mile and a quarter could be the equalizer for him. So it's going to be a very fun Breeders' Cup Classic. I love when we have good three-year-olds to talk about for the Breeders' Cup Classic. And there's no doubt we have three this year that have the record. You know, Medina Spirit certainly has the record to play big in this race. And also Hot Rod Charlie, of course, and what we've seen so far from Essential Quality gives you no cause for pause in not thinking he's a major contender in this year's Breeders' Cup Classic either. So a very good group. This is one of the more talented groups that's kept together that we've had, 16 years I've done Countdown to the Crown now. This is one of the better groups. 2007, I think, was the best that we've seen. That was the second year that I did the series. You know, Curlin, Street Sense, Any Given Saturday, the Philly Rags, the Riches. That was an elite Hall of Fame level group. This one's as good as any for a long time, though.
Yeah, as I say, it played out the second half of the year the way we wanted to, with these horses kind of coming to the fore and in the various divisions as well. The course is going longer, but the sprinters with, as I say, Jackie's Warrior and whatnot, it's been a nice season for the three-year-olds, and it's going to be fun to see how it plays out. Because I think people on the sprint side think Jackie's Warrior is the one to beat in the Breeders' Cup Sprint. So I think the three-year-olds are going to the Breeders' Cup.
I would agree
line.
With that. Yeah. I think he is too, for sure.
Yeah. Jeremy, I always appreciate the conversation. Again, a lot of fun, great ideas, and wish you a lot of luck this weekend at Keeneland and beyond, and we will talk again.
Absolutely. Good luck, everybody, and let's cash some tickets this week.
And I have no dog in the fight, so go Sooners.
All right. I'll yell Boomer, you yell Sooner. How's that? Boomer.
Sooner. There you go. All right,
there
Jeremy.
Jeremy. See, you're indoctrinated. Welcome to the club.
Jeremy, thanks a lot. Jeremy Plonk, horseplayernow.com. Appreciate the visit.
Take care.
Welcome to Albany County, an incredible destination to live, work, and play. With easy connections to more than a dozen cities from our vibrant modern airport, it's a short trip downtown to a hive of culture and amusement. From world-class shows at the newly renovated Times Union Center to reliving the past at the New York State Museum. From outdoor recreation to shopping to nightlife, Albany County has something for everyone. We'll see you soon.
Come on.
I want sales reports on my desk by Monday.
Whoops. My bad.
Love racing? RTN brings you every live simulcast on your home television, plus live video streaming and race replays on your PC and mobile devices. To order, visit RTN.tv. RTN, a breed apart.
Bernstein is an outside threat. They're coming down to the finish. Can Smarty Jones hold on? Here comes Bernstein. Bernstein surges past. Bernstein wins the Belmont Stakes.
To be joined now by our friend Bob E. Holt. You can find his work at the Blood Horse or over at America's Best Racing. Bob, good morning.
Good morning, Seth. How are you today?
Very good. I'll tie in a little conversation that you and I just had off the air because I think it's of interest to maybe the general public, but as you alluded to, people of our age can certainly appreciate it. When they announced the schedule this year, and you're down in that area, much closer than I am, but you mentioned to me the Meadowlands turf racing. They're doing some nighttime turf racing this year, which is, I said when the schedule came back, I said it's a throwback, and it was kind of fun to see nighttime thoroughbreds at the Meadowlands again.
Yeah, I mean, it's not what it was in the 70s and early 80s, but, you know, I think Seth, you and I are old enough to remember there was some great horse racing. I mean, I was really going off, you know, Seattle Flu, Dr. Patches, John Henry, Stormcat, Danzig Connection. There were really a lot of great horses who ran there, and it was a fun way to spend an October evening. It was cool. If you put on a light jacket, it was fine. The weather was generally nice, crisp air. It was a lot of fun to go down to the races back then in the 70s and 80s, and even now, it's not the same quality of racing by any means. But you know, hey, it's a fun way to spend a Friday or Saturday night, and the thing is, you could also these days you could go put a bet on the weekend NFL games there at the Meadowlands while you're there. So, you know, as I say, this is really got to say this is a nice time of the year up here in the Northeast.
Yeah, no question about it. And again, for folks who are maybe too young to remember, plug it in one of these Friday nights and head down and experience a little nighttime racing at the Meadowlands, because at one time it was a thing, and now it is again a little bit of a thing, and it was fun to see. All right, let's get into some of the...
I'll tell you, the eerie, one of the things that you will not see at any other racetrack is they built a whole new racetrack. They built a whole new racetrack, and they basically go the opposite way from what they used to do in the 70s and 80s, but they never tore the old racetrack down. So as you sit in the new racetrack, you look across at the old racetrack.
That's right. They built the facility on the opposite
side.
Yeah, they built the facility on the opposite side. That's right. The old grandstand's still there.
Yes. You look at it. As you look out, facing you is this dark structure, which was the old grandstand. So it's kind of a little bit of an eerie thing when you look at it. The ghost racetrack, but it's kind of something you won't see anywhere else, that's for sure.
Well, when you talk about that, it brings to mind the disappointing when you go down and visit Pompano Park now. Pompano has like a little casino area, and they put up some grandstand seats outside of that, which is kind of the top of the stretch. Why is it the top of the stretch? Because the huge, big, regular grandstand just sits there empty now, unfortunately. But I guess that's some kind of a sign of the times, maybe. Unfortunately.
Yeah, I mean, it is. It's a shame with how you lose some of these racetracks, especially as we have Arlington most recently. But as I say, it is it is the time.
Yeah, exactly. And you, did you ever visit Arlington? I never had a chance to get out there.
Never did. I drove past it once. I actually was going to a Green Bay Packers game with my son, and we flew into Chicago and then drove to Green Bay. And on the drive, I passed Arlington Heights and saw the racetrack. But it, you know, it was the racetrack was closed at the time, and just as I said, my son was eager to get to Green Bay, so we didn't stop. But no, it and from every indication, it just looked like a beautiful racing facility. Kind of like, you know, Hialeah was, you know, in its heyday. And it's just a shame to lose these racetracks.
I was lucky enough to make it to Suffolk before that closed. I'd never been there. And then the last season they were racing, I tend to go up to Maine in the summertime. So on one of my Maine trips, I made a little side trip over to Suffolk. And I was kind of surprised by how nice it was. I was kind of expecting maybe a little bit of a downtrend on the facility. But it was nice. And because it was the last season and kind of boutique weekends, they had a good crowd, young, old, and male, female, and it was fun. I'm glad I got there.
Yeah, it was. I did the same thing. You know, it was fun. I mean, because they condensed the dates, they got decent crowds, and you know, it was fun. It was a fun time. It was, again, depending on when you went, it was generally good weather in the summer, September. And though I will say, I went to Suffolk. I covered a lot of college basketball in that era, in the 70s and 80s and 90s. The track I thought that was even nicer up there was Rockingham. That was a nice little racetrack up in New Hampshire. I really liked that. And that one I kind of preferred a little bit. And, again, it's a shame that we're talking in the past tense about some of these really nice little racetrack to go visit.
Yeah, I made it to Rockingham many years ago myself. And I was on the radio yesterday with Steve Vick, and the conversation got to fairs. We're going off topic here, but the conversation got to fairs in Massachusetts. And so I went and linked on Twitter because I put up on my EquiDaily website, and it was hard to believe it was 17 years ago, but the last start of Zippy Chippy at the Northampton Fair, I had chronicled that on the website, so I put up some pictures on Twitter. But that was the only fair visit I ever had, and it kind of missed the Massachusetts fairs. It was a lot of fun. It was 5 days after Saratoga. I went from a grade one, and I think it was the four go, to watching Zippy Chippy at the Northampton Fair. But that was a great experience, too.
Yeah, I made one trip up there. Yeah, it was quite, it was really weird. You know, it was a unique type of experience, at least for me, because of it. You have this little bull ring racetrack, and in the background, you see the Ferris wheels and all the stuff from the, you know, from the state fair going on there. So it was, just an unusual trip. And, you know, they were very cheap racing, but every now and then you saw a horse that, you know, maybe used to be in New York a couple of years earlier.
Yeah.
So, as I say, the whole, all of that scene, at least up here in the New England area, is basically now all gone.
Yeah, unfortunately. But, all right, let's get into some of the races this weekend, because you've written about them at Blood Horse and America's Best Racing, so I thought we'd get some of your opinions. New York with the Turf Classic and Breeders' Futurity at Keeneland, and then you had recaps also at the various websites on some of the stakes action last weekend in New York, which was very good. But let's kick things off with the Joe Hirsch Turf Classic. I pulled up a replay from the Sword Dancer up at Saratoga. Gufo, the number two, just lasts over number six, Japan. I'm going to flip-flop those two this afternoon, but I also think Arklow is interesting. Rock Emperor for Chad Brown is a player. I'm taking a little bit of a stand against last year's winner, Channel Maker. It just seems like the last two races seem to indicate he's not what he was last year. To me, it's Gufo or Japan, and I probably could have flipped them one way or the other, but I tilted a little towards Japan. What are your thoughts on the Turf Classic?
Well, I'm kind of the opposite opinion. I kind of like I like Gufo. One of the things I seem to find with some of these Europeans is they don't always run as well the second time in the United States. Some do. I mean, Charlie Appleby had some pretty good success with some of the horses he kept in New York, the filly Alfiqua. I'm kind of sometimes a lot of, as I say, you look at like say Bolshoi Ballet, who wasn't able to replicate what he did the first time. I think Gufo's the horse to beat. He always puts in a good effort. I think he's a little notch better than the other Americans. Yes, I do think Japan is probably the horse who's the biggest fear. The one that I don't know if I'm ready to totally discount, Channel Maker, kind of looks like, okay, he's over the top, he's getting older. But remember, in the Sword Dancer, he was out there on the lead being pushed by Trip Puvan. It was a very fast Chad Brown horse.
Yeah.
He won't have that kind of pace pressure here. So with Bill Bont training him, I wouldn't be surprised if he gets a much better trip this time out and is a little bit dangerous. Arklow definitely is somebody you got to watch because I thought he had a really brutal trip on that kind of funky Churchill Downs configuration. He was flying late and just missed. It's not the same caliber of horses, but that really was a winning effort he put in at Kentucky Downs. He just didn't get credit for the victory. So I think it's going to be a pretty good betting affair because at least in my mind, if I look at those four horses, I could see any one of them winning. I would probably give the edge to Gufo. But, you know, I think there's some good betting opportunities in the race.
Yeah, and I will reiterate, we did the handicappers report a little bit earlier, and my colleague on there, Brian Addo, said just what you said. And I like Arklow, and I liked him in the last race. So I was also attuned to it. That was a tough trip in there, and he just missed at Kentucky Downs, which, as you say, is a little bit of a funky course. So Arklow is intriguing as well. All right, let's take a look at the Breeders' Futurity. Again, you wrote about this over on America's Best Racing and had some thoughts on the field and then put your top pick in. And on that, I pulled up the replay from Maiden Special Weight event at Churchill on September 18th. We're going to take a look at number 9, Great Escape. Classic Causeway. Coming off the big number for a two-year-old this time of year, the 90 buyer win in the debut up at Saratoga is going to take a lot of attention. Clearly Stellar Tap for Steve Asmussen. Disappointed in the Iroquois, but was the horse that put Steve Asmussen over the top as far as career wins with a nice win up at Saratoga. Nice full field of 13 scheduled on Saturday in the Breeders' Futurity. Again, we just saw Great Escape come under the wire in the Maiden Breaker, so give us your thoughts in the Breeders' Futurity.
Yeah, I really like that race that Great Escape turned in. I think that looks like a promising effort, that he looks like a horse who could stretch out and handle two turns. I do think the horse to beat is definitely Classic Causeway, especially when you look at the fact that the horse Trafalgar, who was second to him, really ran a nice effort last weekend to break his maiden. So, I mean, it looks like he's coming out of a key race. Post 13 is tough. He has some speed. He's either got to clear the field or, you know, he's really running the risk of being caught three wide throughout the race. That could be tough. Now, maybe he's good enough. Certainly, I would give him a look. But, you know, Great Escape, I thought, looked good. Some of the others, Stellar Tap, you know, when a horse tries the two turns for the first time, you know, it doesn't really succeed like he did. And he seemed like he did get bumped, but he was tiring. I'm not sure if he wants to go long. Yeah. I did talk to some of the connections after that race, and they kind of have some question about whether he could go that long. I'm not sure. You know, Todd Fletcher's got the rail horse, Double Thunder. I think he's a good horse. I'm just not sure if, you know, if he's a horse who really wants to move into become a grade one, you know, level horse at the two-turn distance. But, you know, Great Escape to me. Looks like one of these young developing horses that you want to keep an eye on. And to be frank, again, maybe going back on my age as a youth, one of my favorite all-time movies was The Great Escape. I had the Steve McQueen on the motorcycle poster in my bedroom. So, I mean, you know, Great Escape, a lot of things to like for me in this horse.
Well, that's funny. Now we're both showing our age because I also, my bedroom wall, I had Steve McQueen on the motorcycle, which is one of my all-time favorite scenes in moviedom. But I don't know if you'll remember this, but back when back when there was the big movie of the week. You know, back when there was three channels on your television. I think it was CBS, the movie of the week. I remember the movie was so long, it was like on a Wednesday and a Thursday night.
They needed 2 days. generally that was, that's, again, we show our age, but I remember that happening a lot. The CBS, Thursday and Friday night movies. And you would get movies like The Great Escape or maybe The Alamo. That was so long, you'd have 2 days. So, but that was a great movie when we were younger. And who in the world didn't want to be as cool as Steve McQueen back in, 1965?
And Charles Bronson, who had the phobia but still was digging the tunnel and then gets stuck when everything counts, he can't go forward. Yeah, that was that. Again, if folks haven't seen that, it's worth maybe it's these days. Showing our age now, maybe it's streaming now for the younger folks, but definitely worth checking out. All right, let's take a look at some of last week's action and get some of your thoughts, because again, you covered the New York racing for Blood Horse, and so you wrote some recaps on some of the stakes last week. We'll pull up the stretch run to the Woodward, and Art Collector gets it done very nicely. I mean, Art Collector's on a nice little run here. Won the Aladar up at Saratoga, followed up with the Charlestown Classic, and then this win last week in the Woodward. Maxfield, the number 2, second. Dr. Post, third. I used Code of Honor. I was disappointed with the fifth place finish. I thought he had a little funny trip where he got caught in behind and just didn't get any spot to run, but by the point the running was started, Art Collector just kind of walked the dog a little bit, so there was no catch in that one. Maxfield was the 4-5 favorite, and as I say, wound up third. But Art Collector, since moving into the Bill Mott Barn, just, again, nice little run for that one. Your thoughts coming out of the woodwork?
Well, I was talking with Brad Cox the other day, and we both kind of agreed. When you look at the weekend, there were some really good performances in the Classic division. You had Art Collector, you had Nick Go, who Brad trades, you have Medina Spirit. But I think when you come away from that whole weekend, who you feel best about is Essential Quality, Brad's other horse, or, top horse, maybe. But the common thread with all three of those horses I just mentioned, they all have early speed.
Yeah.
Medina Spirit, wants to be on the front. Art Collector shows he wants to be on the front. Nick Go wants to be up front. When you add Hot Rod Charlie into the mix, you really have the kind of pace that really can lead to a bit of a meltdown. And certainly horses like, say, Essential Quality, who's going to sit off the pace, a little bit off the pace, is going to benefit Max Player. Who maybe flies under the radar a lot. He never seems to get the respect because he kind of had that second and third itis. But, you look at the work that Steve Asmussen did with Gunrunner, I wouldn't throw out Max Player by any means in the Classic based on the pace scenario. And, when you talk about the Woodward, I do think it's going to be very difficult for Art Collector of the Classic because of his speed profile. But then, the horse who was second, Maxfield looks like one of these horses. I'm not sure if he's going to win the Classic, but I would be surprised if he finishes second there too. he's really, really good. I think he needs a lot of things to fall his way to win a race. Maybe that happens to the Classic. So, like I say, who I would come away from the Woodward as the horse I want to watch in the Classic would probably be Maxfield Art Collector, because I just think Art Collector is really he's going to have a lot of pressure up there on the front end.
Yeah, over the last couple of weeks, that seems to be the shakeout as we head to the Classic now. The pace scenario just looks like it's shaping up as Tor. Yeah, Nick's Go is, I mean, there is no question he's going to be sent. Some of these other horses, you look at their PPs, you think maybe they can stalk. Probably they're better on the front end, but Nick's Go. So it's going to be really intriguing going into that first turn, Breeders' Cup Classic. But also intriguing, the two-year-old picture is always intriguing, but I'd love your thoughts on the Champagne, particularly given we talked a little bit about it on the Handicapper's Report earlier. Jack Christopher, we're going to watch the stretch run here of the Champagne. I like My Prankster, and I think My Prankster is legitimate, but winds up fourth and a well-beaten fourth as Jack Christopher wins and looks like he's going to run off. I will say, command performance from Todd Pletcher puts in a pretty good late run to be second. So I think this is going to be a nice horse too. But yesterday, Daily Racing Forum noted they moved the Jack Christopher Byer from 93 to 102, which for a two-year-old this time of year, that is an eye-popping number. And that Jack Christopher looks like going to be a special two-year-old, and we'll see how he plays out in the Breeders' Cup and then moves into the three-year-old season. But really impressive last weekend in the Champagne.
Yeah, I mean, he was much the best. You know, I thought Fletcher's horse was getting a bit at the end, but I think the race was already won. You know, the question is going to be how he handles two turns, because that was just the one turn. You know, the question with time, you know, I don't know, to Frank, that's why you pay the services like Ragazid and Thoroughgraph to give you speed figures. No disrespect to the buyers, but they certainly, I don't think they stay elements as the other speed services. So I'd be a little bit more inclined to see what those services give him. I think I saw one preliminary number from Ragazin that wasn't really huge for Jack Christopher, but still, I think he certainly looks like a horse is going to be a big player. Baffert, as usual, has a good two-year-old, Corniche, if I'm pronouncing it correctly, who probably will be the favorite out there. But I think certainly Jack Christopher is definitely a horse with a lot of ability and talent, and it should be a really good matchup in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, which at Del Mar, which is where Chad Brown won the Juvenile back in 2017 with good magic. So maybe the magic will work again for Chad out there at Del Mar.
Yeah, a horse that came in as a maiden off of a second in the Champagne. So I'm wondering if the Pletcher people are looking at good magic with Command Performance and thinking, hey, maybe we'll take a shot too.
Yeah, Command Performance, that's what I'm saying. With Command Performance, you know, the karma kind of fits him a little bit more than Chad, but it was Chad who won the race. So, but yeah, no, I thought Command Performance ran a good race. One of the things is, though, Jack Christopher ran everybody off their feet.
Yeah.
My Prankster did have a good, I saw he had a good third, he had a really good, much better Thoroughgraph number coming into that race off his maiden. But, you know, sometimes these horses have what they call knockout numbers, where they run a really big number and then they never get back to it. You wonder if my Prankster might be that type of horse. But, you know, I think Command Performance, his effort, I think, was helped by the fact that Jack Christopher just ran them off their feet.
Yeah, and he may have been picking up pieces, as you're kind of alluding. So we will see, but it's going to be fun. And again, we'll see who comes out of the Breeders' Fraternity each Saturday afternoon. Classic Causeway and Great Escape and beyond, and they may add to the intrigue. But boy, on the Philly side of things, just as we wrap up, want to go back to Sunday last week in New York, the Frisette Echo Zulu, now 3-for-3 for Steve Asmussen, and another just stellar performance. She's the number 6 in here. I like Gerrymander because I had that one as a best bet in the Times Union the day she won up at Saratoga at a little bit of a price towards the end of the meet. Gerrymander winds up second, though, and a well-beaten second. Chart margin here is over 7 lengths. And again, this horse is now 3-for-3, and you would have to think heads to the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Filly as the favorite.
Yeah, I think she's like one of those horses you're probably going to want to single at the Breeders' Cup. This, you know, again, talking to some of the Winchell people about their horses, they really think this horse is something special. You know, they're not sure how far she wants to go. She certainly showed in the Frisette that she wants to go a mile. This, you know, I think. I don't think the added distance or the two turns is going to bother her. This is a really exceptional filly with some great potential. Steve Asmussen, his MO is generally to send horses out a little bit early, get them to train over the track, which I think is going to only help her. put in a better effort at the Breeders' Cup. And, you know, like I say, as much as there might be some question about how fast Jack Christopher ran, there's no doubt she ran really fast, you know, the following day of the Presette. And, yeah, she's, you know, you're not going to get rich on her, but if you do a sequence betting on that, you know, Future Stars Friday, she looks like a race. You could feel pretty confident about Bigling.
Yeah, certainly impressive in the first three races so far. Bob, as always, appreciate the conversation. Again, I'll remind people they can catch your work, Blood Horse, America's Best Racing, and beyond. And as they say, we appreciate the conversation. Good luck on the weekend, and we will talk again.
Thanks, Seth. Always a pleasure to talk horses and to go down memory lane with you.
Exactly. Bob Ehalt, again, from Blood Horse and America's Best Racing. And Jeremy Plunk, we actually taped those yesterday, but appreciate their taking the time to give some thoughts on some of the stakes action today and beyond. I got up and I walked away and I took my mic off, but we will fix that. So, again, thanks to Jeremy Plonk and Bobby Hulk. Again, taped those yesterday, but we appreciate their taking the time to take a look at some of the stakes action at both Keeneland and Belmont this afternoon, and some conversation beyond that as well. Keeneland actually opened yesterday. The Alcibiades went to Juju's Map, who went off as the favorite, you know, kind of a lukewarm, close to 5-2. It was 2-1. It was 240 to the dollar. I liked Distinctly Possible from Chad Brown. Good second for that one at 7-1. So that one stepped up a little bit in the second career start. But Juju's Map coming off a big win at Ellis, as I say, took the action from the betting public and got it done. And also on the card yesterday was the Phoenix. And I had Aloha West over Special Reserve, but at the top of the stretch, Special Reserve just got the jump on Aloha West, who made a nice late run. So my top two just kind of flip-flopped, and Special Reserve was the horse to beat. The betting public was on that one and got it done there in the two opening day stakes at Keeneland for their fall meet. But again, nice stakes action there today as well as Belmont. Looking forward to all of it. You can watch all of it here on OTB TV, bet on CapitalOTBBet.com as well. Once more, I want to remind you, if you'd like to come down here to the Clubhouse Racebook and watch your racing here this afternoon, we'd love to have you, and you can enjoy the match bet promotion as well. That'll be right here at the Clubhouse Racebook this afternoon, 711 Central Avenue in Albany, and tomorrow and throughout the NFL football season. Watch all the football action and all the racing action as well every Sunday here at the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue in Albany. All right, I'm going to wrap it up, but I will be back in an hour and a half or so. Don't forget, a little more, less than an hour and a half now, because I was about to mention, don't forget, with the time of year being what it is, Belmont is now at a 12:35 post time, so keep that in mind, about a half an hour earlier than they had been in the earlier part of the meet, but the past few days, they have moved to that 12:35 post time at Belmont. So keep that in mind if you're going to play New York racing this afternoon. We will be looking at that, certainly. So as I say, be back in a little over an hour or so, actually, to take a look at that opener at Belmont and take you through the afternoon as well with some Keeneland and more here on Capital OTB TV. So looking forward to that. Hopefully we gave you some good ideas this morning. Handicapper support and racing across America. We'll meet back here in a few and see if all of it works out and we can cash some tickets a little bit later this afternoon with OTV Live. We'll see you then.
You're watching OTB TV, a service of Capital Off-Track Betting.